towards the top of Yud Chet Amud Bet 18b is talking about this question that Rava had. So let's just go back to the page before. Rava was asking. We had a few different questions from a few different people. Rava seemed to ask a few different questions. So Rava started off with the question of Chatzi Nezek Migufo Omin Ha'aliyah, right? Does it count or as Migufo Omin Ha'aliyah, right? Is there a limitation? That was another question that Rava had. When you have half damages of tzuras, is it limited by the value of the animal? Right, so if the animal kicks out a stone and smashes a Ming vase, right, as it's going, is the damage not only half damages, but is it also limited by the value of the animal? We spoke a little bit about that last week, or last time. If it comes up again, we'll review some of that stuff. But now we're dealing with Rava's separate question, which is what we just outlined, which is Yesh Hada Alitzurus, Ein Hada Alitzurus. Right, that's our question. Elo Hada Bo'i Rava. This question that he was bothered by, Yesh Hada Alitzurus. Oh, ein hada'a litzoros. Can tzoros be upgraded to be a muad or not? Ila rabbonon, right? If we're talking within the realm of the rabbonon, i.e., within the realm of the rabbonon who say, this is not the rabbonon versus simchas, this is the rabbonon versus Rabbi Elazar, right? So this is, again, if we're working within that realm of the Rabbanon, then there must be. Basically, what the Gemara says, it is difficult to jump in the middle. But the Gemara is basically saying that this question seems to be based on an earlier debate, right? So the earlier debate that we had towards the bottom of 18a was that Rabbi Elazar was following the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. Let's just go right back and find the case that we had of the Chachom and Rabbi Elazar. They said as follows. According to... I can't remember if it was the case of the Charora or the case of the Dli. I think it was the case of the Charora. So we'll go back. Basically, you had this animal who ran off with a... this animal that ran off with a Charora. So it ran off with a piece of food, with a coal still attached to that piece of food, right? And while it was eating that piece of food, obviously the coal fell off and then caused damage as a result, right? The burning coal then caused damage and burnt stuff. So we had this debate as to whether that was half damages or not. So the Gemara over here is basically saying, Rava's asking this question, but this seems to be the exact... if you're talking within the realm of the Rabbanon, then they believe Ein Hada Alitzoros, and if you're talking within the realm of Rabbi Elazar, or Rabbi Elazar, really, then Ein Hada Alitzoros, sorry, Yesh Hada Alitzoros, then you can upgrade to Muad. So according to Rabbi Elazar, it does work. According to the Rabbanon, it doesn't work. Omelecha Rava, so Rava responds and says, no, it's still not, so basically what the Gemara is saying at that point is, Why is Rava bothered by the question? It's just a machlokas between... Rava seems to be asking it as though we're going to find a solution to this, but it's a machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Elazar. That's what the Gemara is asking. That's what the Gemara is trying to figure out. So Omelecha Rava, the Gemara says, no, this is what Rava would respond, why he's still bothered by the question. Kimiboy li ledidi. He says, I'm not talking within either the realm of the Rabbanon or Rabbi Elazar per se. What I mean is, well, I guess you have to be within one world. He says, what I mean is as follows. Aliba de Rabbonon, dipligi ale de Sumchas, right? We're talking within the world of the Rabbonon who disagree with Sumchas, right? I.e., they say generally, Chatzi Nezek, you pay half damages for Tzoros. Aval Hacha, but over here, Bein le Rabbonon, Bein le Rabbi Elazar, Keshitas Sumchus Svir Lehu. So what he says basically is that this part of the Rabbanon and Rabbi Elazar it's a little bit confusing because we're talking about Rabbonon in different places. Rabbonon is basically just those who disagree with the individual opinion. So it's different, not necessarily the same Rabbonon, the same rabbis. But what we're saying is basically that within the realm of Sumchus, okay, so within the realm of generally Tzroros require or paying full damages, Bein l'Rabbonon, Bein l'Rabbi Eliezer. Now we take this this separate machloket between Rabbanon and Rabbi Eliezer within the world of Sumchus, Kesumchus Sviruluhu, that's the world we're talking about. Da'omar Tzroros Nezek Shalom Meshalim, who says that you pay full damages for Tzroros. V'taimah my Omer Rabbanon Chatzi Nezek. So why do the Rabbanon say in that case, if they're following this broad opinion that Tzroros generally pays full damages, why are they suddenly saying half damages over here? Why do they say that? Deshani velo iayid. This is because he does it in an unusual way, right? As we've said before, Tzroros is not about being unusual. Tzroros is something which is normal. Tzroros is something which particularly has its own special dispensation. But the Rabbanon specifically are talking about a case where it's unusual. And if it's unusual, then even Sumchus, according to that opinion, if it's unusual, then even Sumchus would agree that you pay half damages because it's unusual. It's a strange thing. We'll try and put some. Maybe we'll come up with some good examples and try and figure out. Velo iayid, and it has not done it three times. Over plugta de Rabbi Tarfon verabonon kamifligi. So again, we're now throwing in a third debate that part of the challenge is also holding the different debates in our hands. So the debate between Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanon. Right, we have a machlokes between Sumchus and Rabbanon, Rabbi Loza and Rabbanon, and now Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbanon. So, and again, three different things. So, what's the debate between Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanon? Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanon is generally they are referring to the Ashur Tam who causes damage Bereshus Hanizak, right? So I think we've touched on that before. Bereshus Hanizak, in the damaged person's property, if it's Ashur Tam who causes damage in the damaged person's property, then within this world of Rabbi Tarfon, right, he would say Yochayv Nezek Shalim, even with, or according to, again, Rabbi Loza's version of this, whereas the Chachomim would say, no, it's like a regular Ashur Tam. Regular Ashur Tam pays half damages, and therefore that's what they would do in that case as well, right? Usually when we're talking about Shartam, we're talking about in a Rishus Harabim, in a public domain. But you have this separate debate if it's in a person's damage, if it's in a the damaged person's property, then do you pay full damages or do you pay half damages? That's the debate between Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanon. So after all that, basically all we've done is ended up back with Rava's original question. We've left it as a question. Rava is still unsure whether Yesh Hada'a L'Tzroros or Ein Hada'a L'Tzroros. Can you have can you upgrade Tzroros to be considered Muad or not? Right? Can you be considered Muad or not? Rashi, I think there's some good Rashis over here. So I saw, the truth is they're quite long, the Rashis, but if you pull out a couple of lines of them, you get some very interesting perspectives. You know, the way that he phrases a lot of these debates really gives a hint as to what's going on behind the scenes. So, for instance, when we keep talking about, we've talked about Tzroros, right? Tzroros is always. Or the classic case of Tzroros is when it's done as what's called as part of regel, right? Under that, when we first started out, right, in the Mishnah, right at the beginning, we had that whole, all the categories which we keep coming back to, regel and shein and keren, and it's all sort of, they all have their own quirks and their own distinctions and differences between them. So Tzroros has very much been within the realm of regel. Now, we had a couple of instances where we weren't sure whether something could. Whether Tzroros would be indifferent, or we had a question about the pig who was rummaging around in the rubbish heap, right, and something shot out as a result of that. Whether that's considered shein, right? Whether that's considered Tzroros of shein, or whether that's also considered Tzroros of regel or not. But what you have over here within this Rashi, so right in the middle of Right in the middle of this, Rashi Elos. So Rashi Elos starts towards the top, starts on the third line. But if you go about 15 lines below that, the first, basically, what he's doing in this Rashi is discussing the fact that Tzroros is something normal, right? Urche meaning it's the way of the world. That's what happens. So I guess we could start from Ummi Diktani. Ummi Diktani is about it's about 10 lines down, 8 lines down in the skinny lines. Ummi Diktani Migufo Almotsroros ki urche nami migufo. Right? So he says this is really talking about something a little bit different. It's talking about the discussion of whether it's paying migufo or not. I'm really just trying to gear up for a line a little bit lower down. But what he says is as follows. So continuing from there, Rabbi Elazar sovar ditzroros ki urchaihu. Within the world of Rabbi Elazar, he's holding that tzroros on normal. Kirabonon depligi asumchus. Right? Again, just like the Rabbonon. Now the Rabbonon who disagree with Simchus say what? They say you do pay half damages, right? But still, it's considered to be normal, right? Or within this case, right? We're talking about a normal case. Veshoni ve'iayid nafka mitolda de regel v'naasa tolda de keren. This is the key line. He says if it's different and it's considered to be muad, then it now leaves the category of regel and moves into the category of keren, i.e. something that's different. Mashune, we've talked about mashune keren, but when we're talking about regel, if it's done in an unusual way, not as the animal's walking, but done just in a, you know, as you say, in an unusual way, then the fact that it is unusual almost moves it into keren territory, which is very interesting perspective, right? Keren, we've always said, is sort of we have talked about keren being unusual in the sense of animal, you know, going for something intentionally, but that doesn't, or that, until now, that hasn't obviously meant that every time that something is unusual, it's going to fall into the Karen category. So, for instance, I guess let's come up with some good examples. For instance, we're talking about an animal who, well, we're going to have a case a little bit later on of an animal going to the bathroom, sort of defecating on something. But let's say the animal is flapping around in a particularly unusual way. You know, the cow, right? Or a cow is running around, you know, in circles and in a strange way. You wouldn't expect. It's not just as it's walking, but it's specifically sort of, you know, darting here and darting there. And as it does that, it kicks out pebbles. So what Rashi is telling us here is that that's falling within the category of keren, right? Rather than within the category of regel. So It's the fact that it's unusual has shifted it over, and again that comes with a number of differences. I think it's a very, very fascinating sort of, you know, change in perspective, because until now I would have said it's still within regel, it's just an unusual type of regel, it's a different type of regel. Yeah, go on. You had a question.
Would the owner be forewarned of that? Say, for example, he was aware that how the cow was built wasn't walking properly. Lame and therefore was in discomfort and perhaps could cause damage. Would that become forewarned, even though it was an unusual way of walking? It hadn't done that kind of damage before, three times, once or whenever.
I don't think so. I think certainly within the categories, it doesn't sound that way. Because again, even when an animal's unwell doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to do that.
I'm saying if it's apparent. Let's say the horse is lame.
The only way it's become apparent is by...
It's become apparent that it's not well and that it may not walk in a particular manner that you're used to seeing.
Oh, I see. Would that be considered would that be considered to be mashune?
Yeah, exactly.
Would that be considered to be enough of a difference, of a distinction? That's an interesting question.
What is the test whether it's the animal or the knowledge of the owner?
Yeah, I would think that's still considered to be different. It's an unusual...
But what I'm saying, the liability of the owner could be increased because he should have been forewarned by virtue of the fact that I know my animal doesn't normally behave in this way, therefore I should be more careful the way that I let him out or lead him.
Well, again, we're talking half damages either way. Either way, we're talking half damages, really, because we're talking about either it's Tzroros, right, or it's Keren. or it's carrying of a short time. So if it's tsroros, i.e. the animal's walking, let's say walking lame, you know, as you say, because it's dragging its feet, you know, it kicks out the pebbles. So either it's tsroros, or it's going to be keren, and then it's if it's never happened before, then it's also paying half damages. I think some of the distinctions
because the probability now has increased because of the changing condition of the animal, which the owner should have been extra vigilant about.
Again, we've got to look at each case. I'm not sure, but in that case, I don't think the probability has increased per se. It's walking differently. It doesn't mean it's... If an animal's walking along, you know, pebbles shoot out, and if an animal's walking in an unusual way, then pebbles shoot out. I don't think it's about probability.
We're talking about forewarned as well, aren't we?
Well, that was what I was saying right at the beginning. Was when we're talking about moored in this case, it's hard to refer to it in quite the same way because the whole concept of tsroros is forewarned in a sense. It is expected. It's normal as an animal walks along that pebbles are going to shoot out. So it seems to be that this is a sort of a special dispensation because of the indirect nature of it. It's not about it being less normal. It's about it being. It's just sort of has this slightly slightly lower category because probably because it's indirect. That's really what it comes.
But if an animal's walking along, healthy or unhealthy, you would expect pebbles to be kicked out.
Right.
And if you expect pebbles to be kicked out while the animal's walking along a legitimate road,
right?
Why would the owner be liable for anything?
Yeah, so you're saying why?
You know, what I'm trying to say is that a lot of this stuff.
Well, that was the initial dispute, wasn't it? Because that's why. Why have any reduction at all?
No, but George is saying the opposite. George is saying you should get off scot free.
But the question, is either you have. Either there is a liability, whether it's direct or indirect, or there isn't liability. The real question. To my mind is, well, where's this concept of half liability? That's the real oddity about it. Because you can argue whether it's direct or indirect either way, but I mean it's a causation argument, isn't it? What really leaps out of it's not a rational explanation. Is the
half damages? Maybe. I mean, they're two very different questions.
Well,
I think that
the only way you can get half liability is if you could prove that, you know, if you're walking along and you know the cow's going to kick up pebbles, if you then put a whole load of vases there, then...
Yeah.
You'd say there's zero. Then there's less liability, half liability.
You can see how you can argue it either as a zero or a one.
Yes. But not the half.
Yeah, that's the real difficulty here, seems to me.
Well, you could have. I don't think any of them are. In any case, you can have. You're saying conceptually they're never.
It's causation. Either it did or it didn't. Now you can argue it either way. That's a yes or a no.
Well, if you could argue it either way, then you can also split the difference.
But that, what's the logic of that?
The logic is that you could argue it either way. That's the point. Correct. That's the point. If this is something which is going to happen, right? You have roadways and you have pebbles and you have vases and you have people putting stuff out. I mean, we keep talking about vases because that's what I imagine smashing. But no one, you're right. No one's putting out their Ming vase in the middle of the street. But they used to have pottery, you know, whatever. You had your jar of oil, right? Which was carried in a pitcher or something. It's not. I guess nowadays you do it with cars, you know, or something. Your car's there and you cause a big dent in the car. Insurance complicates everything. I mean, the whole concept of having a car without dents also is a very 21st century. You know, if it's functional, then it's functional. It doesn't matter that it has a scratch on it or not. You know, now it's just status. So much that's different now. I think but often to the It doesn't mean they don't apply. I think they apply very well, but you just got to try and boil down. I find it's easier to deal with the simpler cases, and then you can sort of distill out the elements. So let's come back to our, again, the classic case of Troros, right? And the animal's walking along. You have, as we say, you have pebbles in the road. You have people who are putting down their stuff as part of it. So what Sumchus is saying is, what Sumchus is saying, so far as I can see, is that yes, it's normal, but because it's normal, right? So the owner knows, right? The owner knows that that's what's going to happen. A little bit of a risk, right? As it's walking along, the animal might kick out, stones might shoot out, and as a result, they're going to be liable for that. What the Rabbanon are saying, I think, is again, the Rabbanon are really basing this off. Of sources, which always makes things a little bit different, but I think from a logic perspective, if it's something that's normal and if it's something unexpected, then you're going to to my mind, it makes sense to say that we're going to have a little bit of we'll meet you halfway in a sense. You're going to be half like you're going to accept half the. The cost, effectively, even though it's a loss, and I'm going to accept half the cost, and that's what the idea, so far as I can see, of Tsurus, really, I think that's where it would make sense. Trying to see if we have anyone who says it explicitly. I mean, we didn't really talk about it when we originally discussed the case of Tsurus. Okay, maybe we can go back. I'll try and go back outside and look back and see if we had any anyone who really drilled into the.
Into the
bottom
of 17b.
Yeah.
Right, so that would be the.
Yeah, but that was. The Gemara on the Gemara talk referred to it as what we called the Hilchas HaGemurah, right? And we spoke about this a little bit briefly, where we talked about whether that was a halacha la Mishmi Sinai or whether that was a. Some sort of other tradition we have, but it didn't really dig into it from a logical avenue. Yeah. I still think you can argue it.
Here's a case for you. Somebody digs a hole, covers up the hole.
Right.
In the meantime, a third party comes along and steals some of the wood that comes up the hole, and the guy goes along and falls in a hole.
Right.
You could argue that that's a 50-50, because the guy says, well, I covered up properly, and the guy says, well, I fell in the hole. And a third party moves some of the wood that...
I think we're going to come to that. Those...
That could be a 50-50 case.
Those discussions are more within the realm of Bor, though, which is, again, which has its own... the whole concept of a Bor, anyway, the whole concept of a pit is a different...
I'm not suggesting Phil was a solid case, but that's an example that you can have an argument.
You mean dug the hole in shaky ground?
The concept. Oh, you're saying the concept of half damages never exist.
I'm with Rava at the bottom of 17b because he says that either he's exactly the argument.
Or Sumchus.
No.
As well. Well, Sumchus also Rava says effectively.
He says that if you go with Sumchus.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says. If it's like the damage caused by the animal's direct action, then you should pay the full cost. But he has difficulty with the Rabbanon because they say it's half cost. But he says that actually, if it's in that event, it's not like damage caused.
Yeah, you mean the rather the just the yeah the line yeah. before the line before the Gemara concludes Hilchas HaGemurah.
I'm with him actually. I mean,
right.
I think that analysis.
Okay, but again, but according to, well, it's not all or nothing. It's all. It's always all.
Of course, the rabbi is it's half in some sense.
No. I'm saying within the realm of Sumchus, always all.
Yeah.
It's always full damages. Okay, maybe. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I think even within your argument, that's the point.
There's no logic. That's just a sort of okay. Well, we're not going to resolve this. And actually, even
it's a common case. It's a common case where there is liability on both sides. Not liability on both sides. There is liability is such a strong word. There is an understanding that these things happen in roadways. Right, that's the... I mean, to be honest, I'm a little bit...
I think what you're saying is that there is case law to suggest that if this happens, this is the way, this is what the reality is.
You accept these things happen. I don't know. It's like, there must be many, many... many common situations that happen that we can just say that you say, you know, if this happens on occasion, then we'll both sort it out together.
Also, 17b, the great Rabbonim, they decided actually this, we can't really resolve this. It probably comes from C.
Well, I don't think that's what they. Yeah.
I think I'm not going to go against that.
Maybe,
but they don't try and actually argue it out.
Okay, so we can go with that. So that I'm happy to go with. Either way, we have this. We have this again. I'm not sure it adds a huge amount either way.
It's a modern argument for not, isn't it? Yeah, effectively.
What?
So it used to be an insurance. There was no one to blame. It's one of those things. We call it knock for knock and drive on.
Right. Okay, maybe.
No, but that's where you both been damaged.
Yeah, and no one pays anything.
Yeah,
they come wrong. If they both get scratched, both pay.
No, but this is where you've got only one person getting.
Well, you say that, but once you've taken their money, then the second person has been damaged.
No, but knock for knock
is the start. The start is that there's damage caused on both sides.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. You're saying that's right.
Damage. Oh,
it's not. What if only one person was damaged?
Yeah.
How do you decide that?
It's not knock for knock.
Yeah. One person's damaged. Whoever does the damage is his fault.
But you don't know. That's what I thought you were talking about a case where we don't know.
No, knock for knock is where you both suffer damage. When one person suffers damage, the other person is 100% liable.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I suffered, what do you mean? If I'm in.
If it's a car situation, if I bash Phil's car.
And your car gets damaged, and his car doesn't.
And your car gets damaged.
No, the other way around. Let's say you drive into his car. Your car gets damaged, and his car doesn't. You're saying he has to pay you.
No,
that's my point. No. It's not about who gets damaged; about who causes the damage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
But let's say you don't know.
Well, suddenly, unless it's an accident in a driveway.
Anyway, the truth is that's more in the realm of Odom Hamazik. Odom Hamazik is different to these sort of animal cases. Odom Hamazik, we do have a higher level of liability. Yeah. In these cases, in the animal cases, we are generally having a lower level of liability. There is an acceptance that animals will. We'll do things that are not necessarily.
Back to my question, this question of damage is also a question of responsibility and control.
Right.
If my horse goes lame, and it's more likely that he's not going to walk in a standard pattern where he doesn't kick out pebbles.
But you are kicking out pebbles when you walk in a standard pattern.
But not in a way that would normally do damage. It might just do a little bit of ripple, a bit of disturbance, as opposed to suddenly his lame, his foot goes down and pebbles flies off.
If that's the case, then yes.
That would not be expected. So in that situation, I would say quite clearly, me as the owner, knowing that my animal was not in a normal condition, therefore he's going to be unpredictable in the way he...
But you have the same argument if he's done one bad act rather than three. And you know he's done one act, but the owner is still not liable until he's done three.
I don't think they're
two different. They're two different things. Number one, number two, and let's come back to each one separately. So Andy's point, you're not accepting the fundamental fact at the beginning that Soros is a normal thing to do. You cannot go from normal to extra normal. You're basically saying it's normal for my animal to walk around and kick out pebbles, but now that it's lame, it's even more normal that it will kick out pebbles. It's normal anyway.
In an abnormal way, is what I'm saying. The way in which pebbles will be kicked out will be abnormal. Because
Why is it different to when it kicks out normally?
Because he's less able, instead of walking on all 4 feet in a particular way,
right.
He's more sort of lilting and limping and so on and so forth.
Right.
So his passage over the same ground would be different. So the probability of damage occurring.
But you're liable in both cases.
I'm saying that shouldn't be a patsy damages. It should be full damages because you're forewarned.
You're forewarned anyway.
No, you're not. What do you mean you're forewarned? You're not forewarned.
It's expected that an animal. That's my point. It's expected that an animal's going to kick pebbles. Yeah.
You're not forewarned. This is just, as you say, it's something natural. It's something that you take as real. What I'm saying is you're all three...
Let me give you a more clear...
No, hang on. What I'm saying is you are altering the way of the normal. This is not normal. You expect pebbles to be kicked.
Right. Okay?
Both parties expect that. What you don't expect is a horse you see walking past you every single day, never disturbing pebbles and disturbing your...
But that's my point. Remember, but you said they do. That's the point. You're redefining the case. You're saying the horse walks past you every day and doesn't kick out pebbles. Factually, the horse walks past you every day and does kick out pebbles. That's the point.
Well, let me give you a question.
The pebbles don't go... The pebbles... When you say there is no normal... The fact... I just want to be clear on it. When we talk about psoas being normal... doesn't mean predictable. Normal doesn't mean predictable. It is expected that the animal, as it's walking, will kick out pebbles. That doesn't mean that the pebble always flies northeast, you know, or whatever, and it always goes at the same velocity. That's the point. The point is that they do, even though it is a normal thing to happen, it's not predictable at all. Sometimes it goes that way, sometimes, you know, pebbles are, you never know where it's going to be, you never know when it's going to happen, you never know how it's going to happen. It's that sort of thing. So I think that the principle you're describing could be true. I just think that the example doesn't quite have it. So yes, in theory, if you could prove that an owner would know with more clarity that damage will be caused, then yes, the level of liability might well be higher. I don't think that particular case really matches up with that. And certainly what Rush is saying.
One example would be that I'm driving my car knowing that I've got a tyre which is...
It's not the same thing. But that's my point, because the driving a car falls into the category of odom hamazik. It's a much more direct damage. Animal damages is a lower level. Animal damages is a different category of...
Unless you know there is an enhanced probability because of the state of the animal.
Possibly.
Example. You've got a dog.
Yes.
Right, and you know that the dog will go berserk if he hears that particular noise.
Okay.
And you're walking along, and you know that kind of noise could be there.
Right.
If you don't tie the dog up, so you've got him on the lead, then it's his fault because you know
that could be, but again, we've left the realm of tsuras now. There we talked about, we briefly touched on that, we talked about the idea of goading an animal. I think there you're 100% right, but again, we're talking about very specific case. That's just a totally different case. We're not talking about an animal.
What you're talking about is the difference between an owner being negligent in the way they're dealing with
correct
and the animal acting actually normally or abnormally regardless of whether the
right
is,
right
well, exactly that's what I'm saying. The owner is acting negligently,
but it's a different issue.
It's not a different issue because by virtue of the fact that you're allowing that animal to be in that condition in that place, you're increasing the likelihood of damage being caused.
So if that's the case, and that's true, your example doesn't correct, though. It doesn't increase the likelihood. That's the point. It doesn't.
Maybe it doesn't. I mean, okay, we're picked different. I
don't know. We'll ask the vets. What a lame animal. Yeah, I mean, it's not. I don't know. It's such a specific. Yeah, I don't know. There's too many details to be able to say that it would increase the likelihood. I just don't see how you could. Who's calculated? You know, the location of pebbles and the style of walking and who's making those calculations to determine whether that's increased likelihood or not? It just sounds too stretched to me to actually increase that. But again, coming back to Rashi's point, I think that what Rashi's drawing out all of this. We're not talking about levels of liability in the traditional sense of you know, zero to one. You know, it's not an on-off switch. There will be different liabilities in different circumstances, in different. That's the point about categories. Categories will determine whether it's going to be you know, applicable in which type of property, right? Whether it's in public property, whether it's in private property, whether it's you know, whether the animal's getting benefit from it or whether the animal's not getting benefit from it. So all those sorts of things are going to be doing. So all I was pointing out from Rashi was that basically what he was saying was that once we move it into an unusual realm, we're moving it into the realm of Keren, right? We're moving it into the realm of Keren, and therefore that's going to be a different thing. I'm pretty sure that there are others who disagree.
But presumably, Rabbi, that's what he's arguing there, is he's talking about the manner in which you have to give compensation and where from. That's the reason for moving it to another category. Because you've got the argument coming up, haven't you, that, you know, from where do you pay the damages? You know, is there a limit on the damages?
Yes.
And that's the reason for moving it from regal to carat.
Well, the other reason is in terms of the it's backwards. I don't know what the reason for moving it is. I think his point is,
well, the distinction. The
once
material,
he moves it,
the material effect of saying this is no longer regal, this is Keren, is that actually it's going to have an impact on the source from which the damages are paid.
Potentially. What you're hinting at is what is the difference between is what we call a nafkamina, which is what's the difference, right? Who cares? That could be true. I'm always that's stage two, thing. I'm just trying to understand stage one. Just conceptually, Rashi is defining it for us.
Why would he do that?
That's what we've got to figure out. I don't know. Yeah, that might be one reason, but there might be others as well. The reason I'm a little bit wary of doing that is because that's a separate stage of the Gemara. The Gemara has done that in two separate stages. The Gemara has that might be true. Might be true in the bottom line, but the Gemara has done that in two separate stages. It said that the migufe, whether it pays migufe or whether it pays min ha'aliyah, right, whether it's limited by the value of the animal, is one question the Gemara had. And then it's also had a question of yesh ha'adolatros or ein ha'adolatros, can it ever become mu'od or not? Now, within the world of Keren, both of those come together, right? When an animal gores a shor tam, right, is always together. So if it does the first three times, then it's always paying half damages migufo, and then once it gets to the third time or the fourth time, then it pays full damages, and it pays min ha'aliyah, pays the full amount as well. So those always come together. So the Gemara over here seems to split them a little bit, which is why I'm a little bit wary. You might well be right. I'm just a little bit wary of jumping the gun.
What would be the other reasons for making a distinction?
Again, I'm not sure we've got to reasons. Or you're saying the difference. Raj is just defining it for us. What he's done is said that the Gemara never said it's switched to Keren. The Gemara has a question of Yesh Hador Letzoros, Ein Hador Letzoros. Rashi has, I guess that probably is why. I just don't want to eat my words later. So maybe you might be right. Maybe let's look at some of the others. I have here in the back some of the hints as to the others. I don't have it in detail, but let's see. So Rashi, we said, switches it into the category of Keren. Others seem to interpret as follows, and I'll read it in the Hebrew over here. This is not in any Rishon. This is like my summary, my cheat book. It says as follows. Some explain as follows: Sheposhet shahalacha ne'emro rak bitzoros. That it's obvious that this is all discussed bitzoros shel regel, all within the realm of regel. Ela hasafik, the doubt of the Gemara over here is who ha'im kol tzoros, are all tzoros va'af tzoros mashunim, even different types of tzoros, are they all considered to be told as shel regel? Oshema. Oh no, sorry. That seems to me what Rashi was saying. Okay. Or he says that these. So maybe I've gotten the confused. Or different types of tzoros which are different are considered to be a told of the Keren. So I skipped to number two because I thought number one was what Rashi said. So that's one way of understanding it. That's what I thought Rashi was saying. Okay. So let's look at the other one. The others say that the doubt of the Gemara is as follows: whether the tzoros hischadsha, that tzoros is telling us rak bitzoros shel regel oshem agam. Oh, I see. Okay, so the question is basically: does the concept of tzoros only apply to regel, or you can have tzoros of keren. That's number one. Number two is that once it's tzoros mashune, it's basically defining what is the question of the Gemara over here. Is the question of the Gemara, can you have tzoros within the world of keren, right? Yesh hadar tzoros basically means, can you have a concept of tzoros in the realm of keren? Then the second question is, no, and it's not that. The question is, when you have tzoros that are unusual, does that move it over to the realm of keren? I.e., we're not talking about an animal goring and then something indirect happening as a result of it, right? Where an animal, let's say an animal charges at your vase, right? The vase doesn't break, but what it does is it goes flying in the air and smashes something else, right? So that's the question. That's the first. According to the first opinion, that's what the Gemara is discussing. Right, according to second opinion, it says no. That's within the realm of keren. That's nothing to do with tzoros. What we're saying is that mashuna keren switches over. Mashuna tzoros. When tzoros is done in an unusual way, tzoros mashunim, then you switch it over to keren. And then the third way of viewing this question in the Gemara is as follows: that hamafar she'af shedin tzoros ne'emar rak beregel. Even though everybody agrees that tzoros only applies to regel, mikol mokom mistabekes haGemara, the Gemara is unsure as follows: shelo yitochin lomar shechiyuv ha'adah shel keren yovi yoseh lechiyuv gadol yoseh mi'asher tzoros shel regel sheheim muadim mitchilosim. That it's impossible that muad of keren will make you more liable than tzoros. I'm not sure what that means in practice.
Could it be that if the animal is moed, you can only it's always megufa. So you don't, even in the Rosh Hashanah, but you've somehow got to limit the damage caused by indirect damage. Otherwise, you'll find yourself being more liable than you would be liable
if the animal caused damage intentionally.
Correct.
That's what he seems to be saying. Yeah. Correct. That last one still seems to be a little bit. I can't quite wrap my head around it. But anyway, but I would think interestingly. So it's interesting. They seem to put this Rashi in that first category, but I would have put him in the second category actually. But either way, we have these two ways of looking at this question. When the Gemara says, can tzoros ever become muad, is the Gemara saying, can we have a case of keren tzoros? Can we have a case, that's the less, I would have said the less obvious way of reading the Gemara. I think the obvious way of reading the Gemara is basically saying, we have an unusual case of regel, right? So we have a case where the animal is not just walking along and shooting at pebbles, but doing it because it's darting around in a strange way, right? For whatever reason, right? The animal's running around suddenly, strangely. We don't know why, and it kicks out pebbles as a result of that. So the question is, does that now move it over to keren and become a keren shortam, right? Or, and maybe like Phil said, right? Again, one of the other differences would be whether it's migufa or not. Or the Gemara is asking a totally different question. The Gemara is saying, is it possible to ever have a case of keren, which has tzoros within it? So if an animal intentionally gores, or intentionally runs at something, or intentionally kicks something, and then that shoots out, in another direction, indirectly causes damage elsewhere, does that work or not? So that, I think those are the two different ways of. Well, I guess, and potentially this third way as well, which Phil explained well, and we'll leave aside for now. Sorry. Whether an animal.
No, with indirect.
Everyone agrees that indirect, the whole category of tzoros is indirect. the whole category of tzaros is dealing with something which is indirect. Indirect damages, and again, in the classic, in its most classic form, will be will pay half. Will pay half, at least within the realm of regel. Not every indirect damage, right? That's what he said. Not every indirect damage, but in its most classic form, as the animal's walking along, will pay half damages, right? So you think, but again, I still think Phil says that he agrees with Sumchas, but he doesn't really. Phil would be happy to pay. Phil would be very happy to pay zero as well.
Either full or zero.
Right, well, there you go. That's what the Rabbanon say. Let's put it like this. I tell you what.
The Rabbanon say
Hetzi. No, that's what I'm saying. So the Rabbanon say as follows. The Rabbanon say, you walk past my shop every week. Okay, so this week, you cause damage, you won't pay. Next week, you cause damage, you will pay. Tachakol, with both of them together, I tell you what, just pay half now and pay half next time. Yeah. That's what they say. Right, so there you go. So that's the...
But that doesn't make any sense, because, you know, if you walk by and you smash this glass...
Right.
Window, he fixes it,
you're all
going to smash the window again. Well, you have to take them both
again. being in the camp of either you pay full or you pay zero is pretty close to being in the camp of let's just split the difference, to my mind. But I don't know.
What we're ending up with actually is
because I'm not sure. Otherwise, where are we ending? We're deciding that there's no liability at all.
Actually, what you're ending up in is that there's strict liability on both parties. Is where you're ending.
Okay. So what does that mean in practice?
That means in practice you're both liable. So you split the damages.
You pay half damages.
What you've got is strict liability.
That's sort of what I'm saying. Is effectively we are recognising that there are. That there is.
It must be strict liability, otherwise Phil's right. It's either or. If it's strict liability on both parties, then it's always got to be half, because that's the only fair.
Because if the guy who walked past the shop, the cars would be smashed as he walks past the shop.
No.
Last week the shop was boarded up and there was no glass there.
No, but it's true. But it is. If you think it through logically, it's strict liability because you're saying both parties are liable to receive and to pay. Yeah. One pays, one receives. You're both entitled to be put in the same position. Someone is made worse off because he has to pay the damages, half damages, whatever, the quantum, and the person who receives it is...
You're living in a community where animals are going past back and forth every day. These things happen.
Yeah, but that's exactly
it doesn't mean that there's got to be 100% liability on the person who's an unfortunate animal goes and knocks over your
car. There isn't, but that's the point.
No, that's
exactly my point.
Well, therefore, there's liability.
Yeah, exactly. Which is strict liability on both sides. You're both going to be liable in your own
liability. Sorry, the right expression, but okay.
Well, how else would you define it?
So,
how else would you define it other than those
telescopes? Okay, so I think we're.
This moves nicely into your sermon of Rosh Hashanah about the fact that even if you win, you still lose.
Right. Yes, indeed. Indeed. Okay, so. That's all right. No, I've got much further in the sense that I think I understand it. I understand it much better. I think it's always good to have this. This is what we call Ian, right? Ian means you're really trying to figure out what's going on. We're pretty close to time. So let's try and get to the full stops. Only a few lines. Okay, so Misham Azle. Amor de Sham Azle. So we're now about halfway down the skinny lines in the Gemara. It's more or less across from Tosus Heicha. First word on the line is Kamiflegi, and then we're going as follows. Amor de Shamasle le Rabbi Tarfon, right? So the Gemara says, "Emet de shamasle lo Rabbi Tarfon nezek shalem migufo mishamasle." Right. So okay, very good that Rabbi Tarfon said you're paying nezek shalem, right? But where do we find that he says anything about migufo? Right. Where do we find anything that's his limitation that he has? So say in mehocha maisile. We have a source mikeren mirushus harabim. Right, let's say you have Keren and Rishus Harabim, that's a classic case of Keren. Dayo labomin adin lihios kan nidon. So this is a very important Gemara concept. Now, even opening up this concept actually is going to take us a little bit of time, but we'll just suffice it to say as follows: the idea of Dayo labomin adin lihios kan nidon is one which I think we come across again a bit later on in the Gemara. Very important concept. Basically, it's saying if you're learning from one to another, then you cannot be stricter than the thing than the original source. Effectively, right? You can't go further than what you're comparing to. We'll leave it as that for now because again we're close to time. But that's the concept of Dayo labomin adin lihios kan nidon. And basically, what he's saying is if this entire thing is coming from Keren Birshus Arabim, right? Then that is Migufo. That's limited by Migufo. And therefore, if that's limited by Migufo, then this also is going to have to be limited by Migufo. And therefore, that is where we get this limitation from. So the Gemara responds: "Ever Rabbi Tarfon Lesle Dayo? Who says he? You know, where does he get this? Maybe Rabbi Tarfon doesn't follow this principle of Dayo Labam Minadin Lios Kandidan, right? Doesn't need to be limited by that. So no, Kilesle Dayo Hecha De Mifrach Kalva Chomer. Rabbi Tarfon was only Rabbi Tarfon apparently has this opinion elsewhere that he doesn't hold the opinion of Dayo only when we're talking about a Kalva Chomer." But when we're not talking about a kal v'chomer, is le dayo, then he does agree. Kal v'chomer is one specific way. A kal v'chomer, sorry, I should explain. Kal v'chomer basically means you're learning from a leniency to a stricture, right? If you're strict in this particular case, and this one is lenient, so all the more so if you then bring the other across, then you're going to have to be strict in that other case. We had it a few times at the beginning where we did in the Mishnah. We pointed out that we tried to do kal v'chomer, it didn't really work. But we pointed out that in the different categories of damages, the keren and the shein and the regel, none of them really worked as being stricter than the other because they all had slightly different things. What the Gemara is basically saying is when you're using that technique of kal v'chomer, then Rabbi Tarfon doesn't believe in dayo. But in all other cases, when you're simply bringing across some, you know, in a logical pattern, then you don't, or different to kal v'chomer, then for sure you would have a case of, sorry, you would have this limitation of dayo labomin adin lihios kan nidon. Everything would be limited based on what we originally learned from. And therefore, since we're bringing over from the concept of tam, right? The concept of tam, we're bringing this over from keren tam, from that type of damage in Rishus Arabim, then the fact that we're bringing that over, we're going to again limit it to migufo, and Rabbi Tarfon would agree with that. I think if we have time over the holidays, I'm going to try and maybe we'll write up a summary of the sort of back and forth of the Gemara, because I think the one of the challenges that I've had, and maybe other people as well, but I certainly speak for myself, is that it's very much a flow. Or I'll see if I can find a good. I bet there's sort of summaries that sort of go through the flow of it. But the challenge is that when you ask question answer question answer question answer, and we stop in the middle, it's hard to pick up the thread from the middle. Thread from the middle. Okay, either way, so we're going to start from Gufa Boirova, and again, coming back to his question again, but not, hopefully not in the middle of a flow next week. Not next week. In next month, 1 month from now. We're going to start again in January.